She wished she had a car so that she could just drive away, but she'd taken the bus because she couldn't afford a car. She kept her head down, even when he rested his palm against the small of her back. She felt the heat right through her thin tee. That heat radiated out from his hand and spread through her body, moving like slow molasses, heating her blood until it sang with need. She tried to outwalk his touch, but he had much longer strides than she did. Overhead lights cast numerous shadows around the lot while illuminating the cars. She stopped, uncertain of where she was going. That was a terrible mistake. He curled his arm around her waist and guided her toward the low-slung Aston Martin in the VIP-only section for family right in front. The moment his arm was around her, heat went up 1,000 degrees in her deepest core. Maybe other women wanted him for his money, but they were crazy if that's what they were thinking about. Her body went into total meltdown. There was no controlling her reaction to him. It was as if two sticks of dynamite collided and detonated together. The rush was almost beyond her ability to control. She felt his breath hitch in his lungs, just for a moment. His arm tightened around her, and he kept walking, holding her upright. Her knees weakened, so she was grateful for his strength. On the asphalt, she could see their shadows had come together, connecting with all the other shadows in the parking lot. Giovanni opened the door for her, and she slid in without a murmur. She couldn't trust herself to speak, and she was very happy he had to let her go in order for her to get inside the car. The leather felt like soft butter against her arms, and, when she sank back into it, felt as if it molded around her, yet was firm enough on her back. She concentrated on doing up the seatbelt while he slipped into the car, to keep from having to look at him. She was still trying to control her breathing and the scorching need that wasn't letting up. "You live above Mashi's Deli, right?" How did he know that? Yeah, she worked for him, but did the Ferraros vet every employee of each of their many businesses? The manager had been talking to him, so maybe he'd said something. Did it matter? Yes. She sounded a little curt and tried to soften it with a small smile. Petrov's is still open. It's pizza, but in my defense, it's very good pizza. I'm not being cheap. If you'd rather go somewhere else, we can. Every single person I've talked to since I moved into my apartment has mentioned Petrov's Pizzeria. I haven't been there yet, but it's on my list, she admitted. Your list? I make lists. Her mother had made lists. She couldn't help smiling at the memory. The lists had been everywhere in their house as she grew up. Now they were everywhere in her house. Lists? As in plural? There was a tinge of amusement in his voice. She glanced at him, but he didn't look like he was making fun of her. I make lists about everything. It keeps me on track, although I have to admit, I ignore the lists I don't want to do until it's almost too late. Such as? He prompted. Buying a car. I'm not wild about the idea of driving in the city. I'm a country girl. I grew up on a ranch, and we didn't have traffic jams. If we actually stopped at a stop sign, we complained about it. And she didn't want to spend the money. She didn't want to have to take a single cent and put it aside to buy a car. She was grateful Chicago had buses. What kind of ranch? Cattle. We had a big spread, and all of us worked. Mom, Dad, my older brother and me. We had a couple of seasonal hands, but for the most part, it was just the four of us. Sometimes only three if Sandlin had to work away from home to bring in cash for the ranch. That happened some years. Then it was essentially my dad and me working the cattle by ourselves. Sounds nice, Giovanni said. My family works closely together, and we like it that way. My sister-in-law, Francesca, is a wonderful cook. So is Taviano, my youngest brother. He was there tonight with me. One of my favorite things to do is to get together with my brothers and sisters, meaning Emanuele, my sister, and Francesca and Marico, my two sisters-in-law, and have dinner together. It's loud and crazy, but it's always fun. She couldn't help but be surprised. She pictured him in 5-star restaurants every night. I only have one sibling, Sandlin. He's 8 years older than me, but we were always really close. My dad doted on me, but Sandlin did as well. I think they spoiled me rotten. I went hunting and fishing with them, out with the cattle, camping at night, just about everything. When I had school dances, my dad and mother chaperoned every single one. She laughed at the memory. It wasn't like I was ever going to get any action with the two of them breathing down my neck. If a boy did ask me out, my dad was like one of those old-school fathers you hear about. He'd take out his guns and clean them in front of my date. If it wasn't them, it was my older, very scary big brother. What happened to them? She looked at him sharply, the smile fading from her face. How do you know something happened to them? You're here, not there. There's so much love in your voice. I can't imagine you moving away from them and the ranch. You wouldn't leave them when you would think they needed you most. His tone was very matter-of-fact. She was such an idiot. Why would she think Giovanni Ferrara was interested in her just because he knew where she lived and now this? My father got cancer. It was a long road. With only Sandlin and Sasha to do the work on the ranch, the bills piled up so fast they couldn't pay them all. There was no way to sell off enough land or cattle to pay those bills. Just when the doctors told us Dad was in remission, he and Mom were killed in a car accident on the way home from their first dinner out in over a year. She swallowed hard. Sandlin was driving, but he wasn't at fault. The other driver was drunk. She claimed she swerved to avoid deer, sideswiped them, and sent them careening off the road into rock. I'm so sorry, Sasha. It's strange to say those words to anyone who suffered loss. They're meant, and yet they don't convey what's really heartfelt. I lost my father a few months ago. We weren't close the way you and your parents and brother were, but it still hurt. I think about all the things I didn't say to him, or he didn't say to me, and there are so many regrets. I hope you don't have those. I hope your times with your parents and brother were good, and the memories are beautiful ones. They are. I'm sorry about your father. She was learning quite a bit about him in the short ride to Petrov's. She should tell him Sandlin was still alive, but she didn't want to talk about her brother. In spite of the strange connection she felt with Giovanni, she really didn't know him that well, and that was a long, sad story. He pulled the Aston Martin into a parking slot and turned off the engine. She realized she thought of the sound as purring. The engine purred right before it went off. She couldn't afford one, but she was a little in love with the car. By the time she had the seatbelt off, he was around the car. Her door opened, and his hand was extended. How did he do that? She'd looked down for 1 or 2 seconds, and then up, and he was standing there. He was fast, or she was slow. Either way, she had to take his hand or look churlish. Giovanni closed the door behind her, and, retaining possession of her hand, walked her through a back entrance provided for locals. She didn't want to make a scene by pulling her hand away, so she walked with him, trying to keep space between them. Even this late at night, and it was late, nearly 2 in the morning, Petrov's was crowded. Heads turned toward them, and she found herself the center of attention. "Why is everyone staring at us?" she asked. She was fairly certain she knew. Giovanni Ferraro was a big deal. He was gorgeous, wealthy beyond most people's dreams. He was probably part of some dangerous underground crime syndicate, or maybe an above-ground one. He owned their part of the city for blocks and blocks. For all she knew, he owned the building they were in as well as the apartment she rented. "I've never brought a woman here before," he said. She stared up at him, shocked. He had been with countless women. She just had to go to a supermarket to see his face plastered on all the magazines. He always had a woman on his arm. Usually it was a movie star or model, sometimes an heiress. Always someone. She'd read the articles and looked at all the pictures. She even had a few magazines stashed in her home, just because she liked to look at his picture. That was before tonight, when she discovered the little game he played when he was out with his brothers and cousins. She was certain she'd throw those pictures away. "Mr. Ferraro!" A woman came right up to him, in spite of the fact that there were two couples waiting to be seated. "We have your table waiting." "I texted them," he said, by way of explaining to Sasha. "Thanks, Berta," he added. Keeping Sasha's hand, he followed the hostess to a large, curved booth set in the shadows of the restaurant. He stepped aside and allowed her to slide in first, and then he slid in beside her. Close. Thighs touching. She didn't think she could handle touching any part of him without having a reaction. Butterflies were having a field day in her stomach, and her heart was racing. She knew it was silly to have any reaction at all. Giovanni wasn't for her. Berta handed them menus. "Wine?" He nodded. "Ours. You know what I like. Sasha, do you drink wine?" She mostly drank beer or a mixed drink, but she was game to try. She shrugged. "I've not had a lot of wine. I don't like white, but I've tried a couple of reds I enjoyed." She was going to be absolutely honest with him. She didn't want him to think she was trying to be something she wasn't, or after him. She wasn't chasing him at all. She was going to spend a few nights thinking about him, but she wasn't going to pretend. Back home, there wasn't much opportunity to drink wine. It was mostly beer or hard liquor. "If she doesn't like it, Berta, bring her a beer," Giovanni ordered. "And bring the antipasto and breadsticks while we're deciding. Who's working tonight?" There was something in his voice that had Sasha observing him carefully. She couldn't tell from his voice why, but it mattered to him who was making their pizza. "Benito is on until closing." Berta glanced at her watch. "He closes right at 3. Tito will open for lunch." "Thanks. How's your mother doing?" Giovanni asking after the hostess's mother shocked Sasha. The fact that he knew she had a mother, or that he cared, shocked her. "She's much better, Mr. Ferraro. She's out of the hospital and is doing physical therapy. We really appreciate your family helping us when we needed it." He waved that away. "Emme and Francesca said they thought she'd be able to walk without crutches soon. Anything else she needs, you let one of us know." "They came twice a week to check on her," Berta said. "It really cheered her up, and they always brought her some little gift. That sister of yours is so sweet. And Francesca, she knew exactly what to bring, mia madre. I truly don't know what we would have done without all of you. I was so worried about the bills." Tears swam in her eyes. "Berta." Giovanni's voice was so gentle it turned Sasha's heart over. "The only thing that matters is your mother's recovery." He glanced down at Sasha and smiled. That smile nearly robbed her of breath. The man was lethal. "You want to try their meat pie? No one makes it better than Benito. There's black olives on it as well."
"With mushrooms," she supplied when she could quit staring at his mouth.
"There you go, Berta. House meat pie with mushrooms." The hostess nodded her head and hurried away, leaving Sasha alone with him. She rested her elbow on the table, put her chin in her hand, and stared at him.
"How well do you know her?"
"Berta? Her parents have been here as long as mine have. She graduated a couple of years ago from high school, was going to college, and then her dad was in an accident. It was industrial. He worked away from home, and there was some kind of explosion. He lived about 18 months, and Berta and her mother took excellent care of him. He was a good man, and they were very devoted to him. She didn't want to go back to college and leave her mother, so she stayed home with her."
"She's around my age, then," Sasha said. "Were you close to her family?"
She didn't know why she had to press, but she did. She needed to understand the dynamic going on. He didn't seem the same man as the one she'd met in the nightclub.
"Not particularly, but she's from the neighborhood."
That didn't answer why his family had helped out with bills and care for Berta's mother.
"Why don't you take other women here?"
She felt silly calling him Mr. Ferraro when they were having dinner together, but he was technically her boss, and she wasn't about to call him Giovanni. She had no idea how to address him, so she didn't call him anything.
"It's home. On my home turf. I don't have to be that man."
She wasn't about to let him get away with that.
That man? She kept pushing because she really wanted to understand. She liked this Giovanni Ferraro. You saw him, the playboy, the man partying it up every night. My cousins come into town, and what else would we do but go clubbing? Fly to New York or San Francisco or anywhere in the world. What's expected of me? Of us? There was the slightest hint of bitterness in his voice. That didn't make sense, either. Can't you do the unexpected? For the outside world, no. That was adamant. Here, where I live, where I count the people mine? Yes, I'm doing it right now. He fascinated her, when nothing had for a long time. She was beginning to relax in his company, even with his thigh pressed tight against hers. She turned toward him, angling in her seat, one leg drawn up. Her denim-clad thigh rubbed against his immaculate suit. She was becoming a little fixated on his eyelashes. They were unexpectedly long and thick and even curved up on the ends. That should have softened his features, but it didn't. It only made him look more intense and compelling. Then there was his mouth. You sounded as if you really liked Berta and her family, as if you were close friends. She knew she should quit pursuing it, but Giovanni Ferraro had secrets, and for some insane reason, she wanted to know every one of them. She leaned closer to him, her eyes on his face. When he talked about Berta and her family, he was different, animated. Most of the time, his handsome features were set in stone, those angles and planes unreadable. But she was certain Berta's family was something very important to him, because his entire demeanor lit up when he talked about them. "I do like them," he admitted. "They're hard-working, honest, loyal. You can't ask for better people." She bit back her surprise, knowing if she blurted out how shocking his statement was to her, it would tell him that she thought he was shallow, which she had. Berta arrived with the antipasto, breadsticks, and wine. Expertly, she took out the cork and then grinned at Giovanni, her eyes laughing. "Nice job," he commented, a teasing note in his voice. Sasha had to change everything she'd thought about him. She couldn't equate this man with the one in the club, hunting women for a game and money. She detested that he had been so demeaning toward women, although after listening to Mary in the employee restroom go on about how to trap one of the Ferraros, she had a better understanding of his life. "Right," Berta said. She poured a small amount into Giovanni's wine glass. "Do you have any idea how many corks I ruined learning to do this? Benito told me he was taking the wine bottles out of my paycheck." The hostess was laughing, but the gorgeous smile on Giovanni's face faded. "He what?" Sasha shivered in spite of herself. At once that got his attention. His focus had been on Berta, but he immediately put his jacket around Sasha, and then his arm, drawing her beneath his shoulder, one hand rubbing up and down her arm. He did it smoothly, accomplishing all of it in seconds, with the minimum amount of fuss, so it was done before Sasha realized what was happening. "No, no, Mr. Ferraro," Berta hastened to explain. "He was only teasing me. Benito would never dock my pay while I was learning something." Giovanni took a sip of the wine and nodded. She poured more into his glass and then into Sasha's. The room fell into a hush again. Sasha looked up and Berta hurried away, back toward the newcomers. His brothers had arrived with the cousins. Sasha sat up straighter and tried to pull away from him. "What are they doing here?" There was no keeping the suspicion out of her voice. If they got one point for getting a woman to dance, what would it be for coaxing a woman to go out when she'd overheard the rules of their stupid, childish game? How could she have been so stupid? "Relax, Sasha." His voice was mesmerizing, gentle, caring. How could he sound like that when he wasn't that way? She hated that she was so susceptible to him. She'd been alone since her parents had died, and she was starved for affection and company. That was all. Simple human needs. But she wasn't going to be the butt of a wealthy man's joke. "I'm leaving. I can walk home." She was more shaken than she realized. She actually felt the burn of tears behind her eyes, and that added to her anger. She didn't cry easily, and certainly not over a man. She pushed at his ribcage. His arm didn't budge. "Sasha, just take a breath and give me a minute. You aren't being fair to me. I fucked up big time with that ridiculous game. It was wrong, and I apologize for it. My family comes here often. Most likely, some of the others will show up as well. Don't leave me because the pizzeria is a popular spot with us. I've known Benito since I was a boy, as have my sister and brothers. Of course, we would give him our business rather than take it elsewhere, and he'd be hurt if we did." He sounded so sincere. His family was on their way over to their booth. She told herself she stopped struggling to get out of the booth because she didn't want to look like it mattered one way or the other. She refused to look at Giovanni. If he was making her the butt of a family joke, she despised him. If he wasn't, and she'd accused him, she would be ashamed of herself. He might play games in his nightclub, but she wouldn't stoop to his level and be someone her parents would be ashamed of. They wouldn't want her jumping to conclusions because she'd overheard something she knew to be wrong. "I don't know how I can change your opinion of me, Sasha," Giovanni said. "I don't like that you keep thinking I'm making fun of you, or whatever it is you're thinking of me. That you're an ass for making up such a mean, spiteful, hurtful game," she said, and picked up the wine glass. She needed something to fortify her. What was she doing, sitting in the Ferraro booth with Giovanni Ferraro? She didn't belong there. She didn't even want to be there. "That much is true," he admitted. "I hope you like the wine. We have vineyards and a winery in Italy. My family runs it. Cousins." "You have a huge family. So many cousins." She took a cautious sip of the wine. She didn't know much about wine, but it was good. "It's rich, full-bodied," Giovanni said. "It's said that when you open a bottle of this wine, with each sip you get unique sensations and taste, even emotion." His smile took her breath. "Keep sipping. Right now you're angry with me, justifiably so, but perhaps another sip will make you like me a little better." "Giovanni! Sasha!" Taviano slid into the booth on the other side of Sasha, hemming her in. "We couldn't get out of there. Believe it or not, Sid Larsen refused to give up his film, and he's always been cooperative with us. The cameraman Darby hired, Jerry Higgins, got nasty. Although all he did was make threats. What an asshole." He glanced down at Sasha. "Sorry, didn't mean to talk crap in front of you. Men like Larsen and Higgins get to me. They make a living out of taking photographs of other people's private moments." "Don't forget that little runt Chesney Reynolds," Vittorio said. "He wanted to fight us. I think he had someone in the bushes trying to film us with their cell." Vittorio slid into the booth beside Taviano, and Gino pushed in beside Giovanni. Now she was in a booth surrounded by Ferraros. They were big men, and she felt a little dwarfed in comparison. Salvatore took the last option, a seat by his brother. Berta put more wine glasses on the table, as well as two more bottles of wine. "I sent the names of all the cameramen to the aunt and uncle," Taviano said. Sasha had no idea what that meant, and she wasn't going to ask. "Why would they want to fight you?" she asked. "Darby makes his living on his reality television show," Giovanni explained. "The show gets high ratings because they cause problems. Darby wanted to make a scene, and that's why he ripped your clothes. He doesn't care who he hurts in the process. It's all a..." He broke off. Sasha knew he had been about to say game, and thought better of it. The antipasto was gone in seconds, as well as all the breadsticks. Giovanni grabbed the last one right out of Vittorio's hand and gave it to her. "Thief, what the hell are you all doing?" "Saving little Sasha, of course," Vittorio said placidly. He leaned back and flashed her a smile. "Giovanni has a tendency to give us all a bad name. We're not anything like him." "You were pretty eager to play your little game," she pointed out, leveling her gaze at him. Giovanni might not want to bring it up, but she wasn't going to let the opportunity pass. In fact, You were the first one leaving the table. Your two brothers remained behind. A roar of laughter went up at Vittorio's expense. He put his hand over his heart. You've crushed me, Bella. Crushed me. He was so dramatic, she couldn't help but laugh with them. I don't think I believe a word of it. Who was the big winner tonight? There was a sudden, sobering silence. She looked around the table. Someone had to have won. She wasn't letting it go. They could kick her out of their little circle for all she cared. If they could play their game, the least they could do was own up to it. I did, Gino admitted. Had four different women want to marry me on the spot. That must be distressing. Her tone was sarcastic. Women liking you. It is, tesoro, Giovanni said. It sounds wonderful to someone who doesn't have this kind of problem everywhere they go. How could any of these women possibly love him enough to marry him, or even like him? They don't know him. They aren't trying to get to know him. If they sleep with him, it isn't for a hookup or because they're so wildly attracted to him. It's because of money. Pure and simple. They want money, and we've got it. She lifted her gaze to his face. So you're saying, if I'm at a nightclub and a wealthy man comes up to ask me to dance, I should say no, because if I don't, he thinks I'm after his money? That's ridiculous. I don't know what he's thinking any more than he knows what I am. I want to dance. I'm thinking he wants to dance. You all started your game with that premise. Anyone asking you or agreeing to dance wants your money. Because they do, Cara, Vittorio said. It's the sad truth. We go to a lot of nightclubs, and it's the same night after night. I love to dance. My guess is, at least half the women in the nightclub, maybe a much larger percentage, are there just to dance and have fun. It would be such a shame for you to miss out on getting to know someone nice because you're so busy trying to win your game. It's easy enough to find out, Salvatore said. What woman, just wanting to dance, allows a man to put his hands all over her, or initiates giving him a blowjob? Initiates it. Well, obviously, then you would be right about her, but if I agreed to dance with a man and he tried putting his hands on me, I'd make it very clear he was out of line. If he did it a second time, I'd probably deck him. That made them all laugh again. Taviano poked Giovanni. Your little kitten has claws. Or, Sasha continued, because Giovanni had put his hands on her and she hadn't really objected because she was attracted to him, she might be physically attracted, because let's face it, all of you are rather good-looking, although I don't want that to go to your heads. If she was drinking and wanted to have a good time and maybe find a partner for the night, or hope she's finding a man interested in her, she might let him touch her that way. Giovanni's arm had settled back around her shoulders, and he ran his finger along her arm. Even under his coat, she felt the impact, and another little frisson of heat moved down her spine to settle low. He was definitely lethal to women, and to her in particular. Taviano suddenly narrowed his eyes. Damn it! Just fucking damn it! What is she doing here this time of night? They all followed his gaze to the entrance. Two girls and three boys were waiting to be seated. One of the girls stumbled and giggled as a boy caught her around the waist, and all five laughed. The girl that had stumbled was beautiful, with long, dark hair falling almost to her waist. She looked like Sasha imagined an angel might, too beautiful to be of this earth. She's drunk, Taviano said. I'm getting tired of having to pull her ass out of parties and get her home. That fucking Bruno Vitali has her going out with boys out of the neighborhood and way too old for her. I told Stefano to talk to her. If I have to do it, I'm going to lose my mind and do something crazy like put her over my knee. He took another sip of wine and slid out of the booth, storming over to the group. Who is she? Sasha said. They look harmless enough. The girls looked young, the boys college age, a little older. Nicoletta, Giovanni answered, his voice tight. Vittorio, how much has Taviano had to drink tonight? He glanced down at Sasha. He doesn't usually drink,
but he had the night off, the first in a long time. He's been covering my shifts after my accident. He hadn't been paying attention because he was watching Sasha. Sasha wanted to know what accident he'd been in. Taviano has been drinking a lot, more than I've ever seen him. He seemed upset about something tonight, Vittorio said. Should we call Emme to escort Nicoletta home? Giovanni asked. It was too late. Taviano was in a heated argument with her. She backed away, shaking her head. He caught her around her waist and slung her over his shoulder and marched out. The others in her group stood at the entrance, stunned, staring after Taviano and the struggling girl uneasily. Everyone saw him reach up and smack her bottom hard as he went through the door. He didn't just remind her in that very loud voice in front of her friends and everyone in here that it's past her curfew, did he? Or spank her? Sasha was outraged. Giovanni wiped the smirk off his face instantly. Nicoletta is the epitome of a pain in the ass, he explained. You have no idea how many times a member of my family has been called to find her and escort her home. I'm talking called out of important meetings, dinners, our beds, if we happen to be on a date, major charity events. You name practically any circumstance, and we've had to leave to find that little hellion. I don't envy the man who ends up with her. Is she related to you? Underneath Giovanni's humor, she heard worry. Not by blood, but we look out for her. She's Lucia and Amo's foster daughter. She's had it rough. I'm not going to lie, but she's wild and they worry. Stefano needs to step in. Stefano Ferraro was the head of the Ferraro family in Chicago. She knew that much. Everyone knew it. What could Stefano possibly do to change a wild teen? Weren't all of you a little wild? Didn't you sneak out of the house and party? The men looked at one another, and she could see something secretive pass between them. But no one answered her. More antipasto and breadsticks were ordered, along with several large pizzas. She felt a little funny being the only woman in the booth with the powerful Ferraro family, but she had to admit, they treated her with the utmost respect. She found herself laughing more than she had the entire time since her parents died. They seemed to know everyone. They weren't in the least patronizing, and included her in the conversation, asking her opinion and sometimes debating a point with her. Through it all, Giovanni kept his arm around her. He was warm and solid. He felt protective, and that was something she hadn't known in a long while either. Sasha gave herself permission to enjoy the rest of the early morning hours with them. Once she did that, she had fun, because they were that. Just plain fun. Chapter 3 Sasha Provis is a shadow rider. At least she's capable of being one, Giovanni announced to his family. She's definitely mine. I was attracted to her before our shadows ever connected. In the club, when she spoke for the first time, something in me opened up and she just poured inside. He didn't know any other way to describe it. Stefano glanced up at him from where he was carrying Francesca's famous avocado pasta to the table. It was a huge bowl, one, Giovanni noted, that was getting larger and larger. You didn't call me? Giovanni concentrated on putting silverware on the table, not looking at his older brother. He could barely breathe, thinking about Sasha sitting up in her apartment alone, or maybe getting phone calls from other men asking her out. She had said no, and he asked her out the next night, although she softened the blow by telling him she was scheduled to work at her second job. Who knew she had a second job? Why didn't he know? He'd put the investigators on her. By the end of the night, he hoped to know everything there was to know about her. You and Francesca had the night off together for a change. No one was going to interrupt you. Stefano looked around at his brothers, sister and sister-in-law, all gathered together for a meal. The sourdough bread was fresh and hot. The pasta and a giant salad were already on the table. They all pulled out chairs. No one had assigned them individual seats, but they tended to choose the same ones all the time.
We're looking for nieces and nephews, Vittorio said. Looking to you to get it done, Stefano, giving you as much time alone with your woman as possible.
It's not easy when we're one rider down, Rico said.
I told you I'd give you a few lessons with the rope. Tie her down and get it done.
Francesca turned a fiery shade of red. You are not discussing our sex life. She made it a statement as she glared at them all, one hand poised above her water glass.
Of course we are, Giovanni said. Why wouldn't we? It's important he keeps you happy, satisfied, and knocks you up. You ever heard of barefoot and pregnant? Stefano is so damned bossy, he's going to piss you off a lot. We're not losing you, so that means we need a lot of bambinos running around, keeping you too busy to run off.
A look passed between Francesca and Stefano. She shook her head slightly and then rolled her eyes, while the others laughed, but nodded as if in complete agreement.
See, Mariko? She turned to her sister-in-law. They're taking it easy on you, but this is going to be your life soon. They interfere with everything.
I can't turn around without one of them underfoot.
Or one or more of their cousins. Emilio, Enzo, and the others. Try planning surprises for your husband.
Mariko smiled. You're the one we all look to, Francesca, she explained gently.
Of course, we're going to look out for you.
Giovanni noted that Mariko, Rico's wife, used we instead of they. She'd included herself in looking after Francesca. Mariko was a huge asset to the family, a trained shadow rider, very fast and efficient. Without Giovanni's ability to ride, she was taking jobs as well. They rarely worked in Chicago. They were called in to work in New York, San Francisco, and Los Angeles. Their work took them all over, but those were the main places they traveled. Salvatore, Luca, and Gino, three brothers and their cousins, were called in from New York if there was a job to be done in Chicago, as they had been the other night.
"Who looks after you, Mariko?" Francesca asked.
"And Emme?"
She looked down the table to Emanuele, Giovanni's sister.
"We're riders, honey, so they do put bodyguards on us, but it isn't the same,"
Emanuele said. "We were trained from a young age to fight in just about every style imaginable. You are the center of our world. You know that, Francesca."
"What's wrong, baby?"
Stefano's voice was soft, loving. There was silence at the table. All forks went down as they collectively looked at her. Her hand trembled as she took a sip of water. A distraction, Giovanni knew. She was being cautious. She shook her head and carefully placed the glass back on the table.
"Nothing, really."
"Francesca." That was all Stefano said, but they all knew that voice. When he used it, the tone was pure command, and there was no getting around it. They were all capable of using that voice. They had to be, but Stefano was different. No one argued much with him. His hand went to the back of his wife's head, stroking a caress down that length of gleaming hair. She shrugged.
"It's just silly, really. I'd like to do a few things outside of my home sometimes. Have a girlfriend to go shopping with. Go out to lunch. Work again."
She lifted her lashes, just enough to see Stefano's face. His features were expressionless. Giovanni found his own body tensing up. Francesca had worked at Maschi's when she'd first arrived in Ferraro territory, but she had quit just before her wedding. The paparazzi had bothered her non-stop, and she'd had enemies. Stefano had orchestrated her quitting the job in order to better protect her. Giovanni looked at Stefano, waiting for his reaction.
"Baby, you know if you want to work, I'm going to be supportive of that. Unless, of course, you were pregnant, and then standing on your feet all day wouldn't be good."
Giovanni snapped his head around, looking at Vittorio and Taviano, then Rico and Mariko, lastly, Emme. No one moved. No one ate. They waited.
"I don't want you ever to feel like a prisoner in our home, or with me or your family. I know sometimes it has to feel like we're smothering you with our protection. What would you like to do, Francesca? I know Pietro has hired another woman, but
He'd give you your job back the moment you asked for it. He can lower her hours and give you whatever hours you want to work. It was a subtle reminder she would be taking a job someone else really needed. Stefano's gaze shifted toward Rico, just for a moment, but he took the cue. He leaned across the table toward his sister-in-law. I thought you were doing tons of charity work and handling all the people in our territory. Are you tired of that? She was doing far more than her share in that field. Sometimes Emanuele could go with her, other times not. Francesca shook her head. No, it's interesting work. I'm on a few committees and the board for raising funds for the local cancer fund, the one that helps the families through it. I think it's important work, and I do love visiting with all the families. Her voice trailed off. Honey. Emanuele's voice was very low. What is it that's making you upset? You told me the other day that you loved what you did. It is important work. I was talking with Eloisa the other day. There was a swift intake of breath. Giovanni felt his stomach start to turn. Stefano's features darkened, but he remained silent. All of them did, waiting. Their mother could wreak havoc as no other woman could. No one is eating, Francesca said rather desperately. The food's going to get cold. This isn't important enough that you're all getting upset. Of course it is, Francesca, Vittorio said. He was gentle with his sister-in-law, his voice almost mesmerizing. He didn't raise his voice, but then Vittorio never did. He kept that velvet, soft tone that stroked inside a person and made them want to comply. Anything that makes you upset is important to all of us, let alone Stefano. Enlighten us to what wisdom our parent passed on to you, Stefano said. Francesca's gaze shifted to his face. Don't be like that. Eloisa is trying. Bullshit, she's trying, he snapped. Damn it, Francesca. When are you going to learn our mother is a first-class bitch? His breath hissed out between his teeth. Giovanni understood. They all did. All of them with the exception of Francesca. Even Mariko knew Eloisa took great pleasure in shredding others. She enjoyed ripping people into little pieces, making them cry and then walking away, superior and happy that she'd accomplished her mission. That's not nice, Stefano, Francesca said. She's your mother. Baby, his voice softened. You had a wonderful mother, and you're going to be one. Our mother was never that, never. She didn't hold newborn babies and look down at them with love. She handed them off and stayed away until they were two, and she could start their training. She didn't cuddle them when they got hurt, or get up with them in the middle of the night if they had a nightmare. I know Eloisa and what she's like. She loves all of you. In her way, yes, she does. I won't argue with that. But she isn't compassionate or caring, at least not to us. For whatever reason, Eloisa chose to ignore that she had children. We're all past that. We don't have mommy issues. You keep trying to mend those fences, and I love you for it. We all do, but she's going to eat you alive, and I can't allow that. Stefano's voice changed completely. He used his commanding, don't fuck with me or else voice. Giovanni couldn't help wincing. Tell me what she said to you. Francesca sighed. She said I was rather worthless, sitting on my barren ass at home all day. She asked me point blank if I had been tested and was I able to produce children. She made it very clear that I better be able to at least have children, or I was useless to you and the family. Giovanni gasped. And he wasn't alone. Francesca was the center of their lives. She mellowed Stefano, the head of their family. More, she brought him joy and fun, things he'd never had. He couldn't imagine what they'd do without her now that she was with them. Stefano studied his wife's face for a long time. The clock ticked. Breath moved in and out of lungs. Silence stretched to a screaming point. He caught Francesca's chin and turned her face fully to his. I never, in my life, heard the kind of fucked-up bullshit my mother manages to spout. I often wonder if she's in her room all night, just thinking shit up. You don't sit on your ass. You go out in the neighborhood and visit the elderly. Men and women we've known our entire lives, but you just met. You do that. You bring them groceries and make certain they have what they need to be comfortable. I heard you helped old man Lotzi pay his bills when he was confused. You took him to the doctor, didn't you? Francesca frowned at him, nodding. His diabetes was out of control. The doctor told me you saved his life. Then you went back to his home, paid his bills, cleaned his house, which, by the way, next time you bring in the cleaning crews. You also stocked his home with the kind of food he needed. He isn't the only one. You visit the residents who are sick. I tried to do that in my spare time, but never could fit it all in. We all did. Even dividing the work between us, we couldn't get it done. You took that off all of us. Emme goes with me. When I can, Emanuele said. But it isn't that often. And all the committees and boards you're on, Francesca. Stefano continued. Each of them needs a Ferraro on them. You took that off of us as well. More importantly, baby, you are my entire world. Our world, Giovanni said. You, Mariko, and Emanuele are important to us, and not because you can give the family babies. If we never have a child, I would go through my life happy, Stefano assured. The doctor said there was no problem, and we can have children. He reached out his hand to her, threading his fingers through hers, his eyes on hers. Just relax, baby. We're going to be fine. You're going to be fine. Just stay the hell away from Eloisa. I'm going to make it very clear to her that she doesn't come here unless I'm home.
Don't do that, Stefano,
Francesca said. It was silly of me to let her upset me. I'm going to make it very clear to my mother that she isn't allowed to come near you unless I'm with you, he reiterated, making it a decree. Dinner is getting cold. That was the end of the discussion, and they turned back to their food. Giovanni felt relief that Stefano had handled the situation the way he had. It was a learning experience. He'd need a few lessons, especially after blowing it with Sasha. "How the hell do you keep your temper in check?" he asked Stefano. Stefano's gaze swept over him. "You've always been cool, and then your temper burns so hot and out of control. It takes down everything in its path. You just have to acknowledge to yourself that that cool is all a facade. Know what triggers it, and be very careful. You're going to need to be calm and rational to reel this girl in." "She isn't a fish," Francesca objected. "She's not even on the hook," Giovanni said, annoyed. "I can get every woman I don't want, but not the one I do. She's attracted, but running in the opposite direction very fast." Ordinarily, his family would have been teasing the hell out of him, but Sasha was the one. He'd made that clear. Their shadows had connected, and already that pull was being felt. She'd unlocked that vulnerable place inside of him, and now he had no choice but to actively pursue her. There could be no mistakes. She was that woman, the one destined to be the center of his world in the way Francesca was for Stefano and Mariko was for Rico. "Why?" Stefano asked. Giovanni stiffened. "Why what? Why isn't she on the hook? She's a server in our nightclub. You had dinner with her after hours. From what I was told, there were two incidents at the club, and both times you stepped in and took care of it before security. Why isn't she on the hook?"
"Stefano,"
Francesca said gently. Giovanni knew he wasn't going to drop it. He was ashamed to tell Stefano in front of Francesca and Mariko about the game he'd made up. Stefano watched him eat his pasta. Giovanni took a sip of wine to wash the pasta down, and then made his confession. "She overheard me telling Salvatore and Gino about this stupid game we sometimes play when we're bored." Stefano's face darkened. "Game? For money. We bet on women." Giovanni glanced at Francesca's face. She looked at him under her long lashes, her face soft and compassionate. He hated that she was going to be disappointed in him. "I get so fucking sick of women throwing themselves at us because we're Ferraros. The point is, Giovanni, to use that to our advantage. We need to be seen in public while one of us is dispensing justice, Stefano said mildly. What did she overhear? Nothing that could compromise us, Giovanni said. You know I would never talk about our work, although he would have liked to do just that with her. He wanted to explain to Sasha why he was upset and tired of the nightclubs, why he had to appear to be a playboy when he wasn't. Okay, maybe he was. God, he scrubbed a hand down his face. He didn't even know anymore. He wanted to go up to her apartment and just sit with her, see her face, watch her smile light up her eyes. All this time, and he hadn't made any headway. What did she overhear? Stefano repeated. The game. It's a point system, Stefano. A woman asks us to dance is 1 point. She initiates certain things on the dance floor, more points. She offers to do certain things, more points. That sort of thing. Sasha overheard and was rightfully disgusted and now has a very bad opinion of me. The woman has to initiate the contact? Francesca asked, leveling her gaze at him. She understood, all right. There was nothing slow about Francesca. He glanced at Mariko. She had been raised in Japan, and English wasn't her first language, but she understood as well. "This is a game you played, Rico?" she asked her husband. Rico took her hand. "You know I did all sorts of things I shouldn't have done, Farfallina mia. I'm not that man now. Perhaps it would be good to retire this game," Francesca said, and looked pointedly at Vittorio and Taviano. "And if there is a female version of the game, Emme, you need to opt out of that as well." Taviano and Vittorio concentrated on their food. Emme glared at Giovanni. "There is definitely no female version of the game, nor have they played it around me." Her tone indicated she would have shut it down, which they knew, so they'd never allowed her to overhear the bets between them. Giovanni wanted to kick his brothers under the table for leaving him hanging out there. "Taviano had to take Nicoletta home last night, Stefano. She was drunk again and out far past her curfew. She's out of hand." "She's a hellion," Vittorio said. "You have to talk to her, Stefano." "I talked to her last night," Taviano said. He looked around the table. He hadn't touched his wine, and he looked very serious. "Someone had to, Stefano. She was out of control. I don't care if she's 18, 20, or older. She has no business getting drunk and missing her curfew, or putting herself in danger like that. Lucia and Amo are good people. They took her in and gave her a good home. They deserve respect, at the very least." "Taviano," Francesca's voice was gentle, "she doesn't respect herself yet. She needs direction." "I gave her direction," he snapped, and then shook his head. "Mi dispiace," he apologized. "I might have been too hard on her." He pushed the heel of his hand against his forehead, rubbed as if he had a headache, and then took a deep breath and looked around. "I was hard on her, deliberately. I wanted her to think about the chances she's throwing away. I was fucking drunk myself, and when she fought me..." He shook his head. "Let's just say I wasn't gentle." "Taviano." Francesca's voice was soothing. Giovanni felt guilt. He knew Taviano was getting fed up with Nicoletta's late nights, her escapes out the window and the incessant partying. All of them were, being called away when they were busy. He also knew Taviano didn't drink much. It made him belligerent. Giovanni knew he should have escorted Nicoletta home instead, but he hadn't wanted to leave Sasha. "We'll start her self-defense training," Stefano decided. "That will at least make her so tired she won't be looking to crawl out her window. She'll never be fast enough to ride the shadows, but she'll know how to defend herself, and she'll be able to get into the shadows if there's a need to escape fast. I've been working with Francesca. No matter what, our women need to know how to use the shadows to escape if we're ever under attack again. I don't know if training her to beat the hell out of us is the right thing to do," Taviano said. "I've got a few bruises." We'll make it clear she isn't to use her knowledge on any family member, Stefano said. Taviano, you can tell her. Taviano shook his head, throwing his hands into the air. Not me. I'm done with her for a while. One of you can talk to her.
I will, Francesca said. I want to meet Giovanni's Sasha anyway. I heard she was the one working my old job at the deli. Pietro hired her full-time. Most of the other workers are part-time. Nicoletta works with Lucia at Lucia's Treasures, and then she goes to the flower shop. I can time it so I can see both of them. That fucking Bruno at the flower shop needs to have the shit kicked out of him, Taviano snapped. He's the one that's been dragging Nicoletta to these parties.
He'll be taken care of, Stefano said.
I want to be there, Taviano insisted, looking straight at his brother, waiting for the nod.
Wait a minute. Are you telling me Sasha works full-time at the deli and full-time at the nightclub? Giovanni was outraged. That's 16 hours of work. Is she crazy?
He started to get up, as if he might rush right over to her apartment and confront her. And he might have.
My advice, Giovanni, Stefano said, is to keep her from seeing that temper of yours as long as possible. Reel her in and make her fall madly in love before she finds out you're a bossy, paranoid, overprotective beast, and you're going to do everything you can to clip her wings. That's what I did.
Everyone burst out laughing. He frowned at them.
Francesca is sitting right there.
He held out a few seconds and then grinned at his wife. She'd known all about his temper, his bossy ways, his jealousy, and every other difficult trait he had before she married him. He knew it, too. Giovanni was fairly certain Sasha had already condemned him for the game he played with his brothers and cousins. She'd be really upset that he'd invented it. What she hadn't heard, because they all knew the rule, it was one they lived by, was they didn't ever include innocents, only women who knew the score, women propositioning them because they had money.
Aaron Anderson ordered your woman a huge bouquet of flowers, Emanuele announced.
What? Hot rage rushed through Giovanni's veins. He could barely breathe.
That bastard! I should have known he'd pull something like that.
It isn't as if you made a claim on her publicly, Vittorio pointed out.
We knew because you were acting completely out of character with her.
How was he acting? Stefano asked.
Forget that, Giovanni snapped, glaring at Vittorio and Taviano.
Like a complete ass, Taviano said.
Is that unusual? Rico asked.
Shut the fuck up, all of you, Giovanni ordered.
He pinned his sister with a steely gaze.
This is important. Are you sure, Emmy?
She nodded.
I was in the flower shop when Aaron came in. He trained on and off with you, Giovanni, so I thought you were friends. We struck up a conversation, and he told me he was ordering flowers for a woman. He wanted to pick them out personally, not have someone order over the phone for him. I didn't know she was yours, so I just thought it was sweet.
It's not sweet, Giovanni bit out. He's making his move. I knew he was interested. The bastard had women hanging all over him, practically blowing him right there at the table. In fact, he probably did. He acts like an asshole to her, and she's going to forgive him because he sends flowers.
Women.
Shit.
Women don't forgive a man just because he sends her a bouquet of flowers, Emanuele said, lifting her chin and leveling her gaze at him. Sometimes the flowers end up cut to pieces in the garbage can.
There was a sudden silence. Emanuele looked around the table and the half-raised forks.
What? It happens. Am I wrong, Francesca? Marico?
You are not wrong, Francesca said.
Stefano narrowed his gaze at her. Have you ever cut up flowers I brought home to you?
You know very well I have. I did it right in front of you. You were being a bossy jackass, driving me crazy with your paranoid delusions that every person in the world is out to take me from you, Francesca said firmly.
Stefano brought her hand to his mouth, kissed her knuckles, and then ran his thumb over them gently, stroking back and forth.
Aren't they? His family erupted into laughter. Even Giovanni had to laugh. "I've only received flowers for..."